hello from everybody in Loughborough. We love you guys and enjoy kind of being partners with you in what we're doing. But we are part of a bigger family. We call it Catalyst, and it's part of New Frontiers, and that's all good. What that really means is that what we find is with people who are on the same page in terms of wanting to build church according to the Bible and full of the Holy Spirit, that we believe in reaching out and being really clear in the gospel but loving the community around us, and just finding sort of common values and good friendships. And Stu's disappeared already. He must have known this was coming. Okay. Should we just all wait for Stu? No. Stu and Sarah are kind of heroes of ours because, they're just wonderful people, loving and serving and persistent and really pressing on for what God's got here, and really genuinely heroes of ours. So, too much love. We're going to make people sick. Okay, so what we're going to look at this morning, well, let's ask a question first. Who's clever here? I'm gonna ban Sarah from this one. But does anybody know? Let's have some guesses. Where are the islets of Langerhans? Anybody? The Canaries. Good guess. Sorry? They are in the pancreas. I thought they were like the coast of Kent or somewhere up in Scotland. But yes, we have a picture here to prove it. Oh, thank you, David. What a good man. Do you want to turn over to the next? Here we go. There they are. The islets of Langerhans. They are in your pancreas. And I thought, oh, that's nice to know. Where's my pancreas? So there it is. It's in your body. That's very descriptive. What they do is they sense the sugar level in the blood, okay, help you to regulate all of that. So maybe most of us, go on, be honest, who's never heard of them before? Okay, that's good. Most of us never heard of them before, but if you didn't have them, your body would not function very well at all. You would be sick. You would be unwell. And your body has got many bits that all need to function properly to make you work. And the church is the same. The church is a body made of many bits that all have different things that they do that need to function properly to help you, the church, do what the church is meant to do. And you are all part of that body. Have a look around. That's who you are. You are the body. And we're going to look at what it means this morning to be the body of Christ. Now, I'm really thrilled, excited to. I'm amazed how quickly your building is coming on. It's fantastic, isn't it? We're so excited about that. Every time there's some pictures go up on your Facebook page, we splash them onto our Facebook page as well, and loads of people love seeing that. It's really good. I remember last time we came, we did some teaching on the Saturday in the kind of schoolroom there, and the water was pouring down the wall. It was great fun, but I'm so excited that you guys have got that building, you've got that funding, you're doing so great there. But that building is not the church. Yeah, that building is not the church. You are. You are the church. That building isn't going to work out the purposes of God in Bryn Mawr for you. You are going to work out the purposes of God in Bryn Mawr. It will be a fantastic tool in your hands, but when that building is done, if the body sits back and tries to let the building do the work, nothing will happen. And that's really important. If you all collapse in a heap, or if Stuart collapses in a heap of exhaustion when you have your opening ceremony, you need to help pick up and help him say, Stuart, you're part of the body. This is a tool in our hands. Come on, man, get back on your feet. Buy him some chocolate and a cup of coffee and get him going again. You see, the church is a body and you are that body. The body comes together in a building, but the body exists outside the building as well. It's good when we're the church gathered together, but we're more effective in what we're called to do when we're the church dispersed into our schools, colleges, homes, place, neighbourhoods, whatever else. So you'll do great activities in the building, but live most of your lives outside the building, with the possible exception of Stuart if he's got an office there. So, the church isn't a building, the church is the body of Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean for you guys, for us to be a body? We're going to open the Bible at 1 Corinthians 12. Some of you may know these verses well, and if you do, that's great. We're going to look at them again anyway. So, I think in the PowerPoint, David, we start about verse 14. I'm going to start at verse 12. Oh, it does start at verse 12. Here we go. You're just going to have to page through, Davith, and keep up. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, and so form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, that's a really creepy bad dream stuff, isn't it? Imagine your foot starting to talk to you. I'm not a hand. That would freak me out. Where are we? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that's creepy as well, isn't it? Can you imagine? A new guest, you have a guest on a Sunday, he walks in, it's just an eye. Just rolls in. I've lost my place again. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body which seem weaker are indispensable. And those parts we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, like your nose. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. You ever find that? You stub your toe. I got my shaver on my foot this morning. Electric shaver, and it fell apart and scattered stuff all over the bathroom floor. And sorry, I cleaned it up, by the way, Stuart. And you know, when you do something like that, you stub your toe, it's like, actually, my whole body is in pain. My toe hurts, but my whole body is in pain. So that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. For if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. We got that? If you get nothing else out of this scripture, that's the verse. Verse 27. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's so colorful and wonderful and helpful. And we pray by your Holy Spirit, you bring this alive to us today. Amen. So this is written to a church that were really divided. They were very proud and they all wanted to think of themselves better than each other. Now, I'm sure you guys aren't like that, but I reckon there's stuff in here that's going to be helpful to you anyway. Because I think we can all feel in a place where we don't all maybe feel as useful of each other as each other. And what's my point? Why am I here? But if you are a Christ follower, you are part of the body. And you have purpose in the body here and now. And maybe you need to try and find out what that is. Have a go at a few things, get stuck in. Maybe you need to kind of step out a bit to find that. But the truth is, you are part of the body and you have purpose. The church is a body, many parts, different functions, and so on. Now, I looked up in the dictionary, an online dictionary. Online dictionaries are great, aren't they? You can almost make a word mean anything in an online dictionary. I found the word body had got 22 different definitions. 22 definitions of the word body. And I think if you hear me saying that the church is a body, you could easily get one of those wrong interpretations that gives you an unhelpful view of the church. Let me give you a few examples. So one description of a body is an organized group of people with common purpose or function. I think if you just page through a bit, we've got, so go through all that. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Next one. There we go. It's easy to think of the church being an organization with common purpose or function. That's like you might say that the highways agency is a public body, or the lottery fund is a public body. Something with common purpose and function. Well, yes, the church, we have a common purpose. We'll look at that later. But we don't have a common function. You see, the church is a diverse body. Like your body, different bits have different functions. The eyes, the ears, the toes, they have different functions. And as we look at ourselves, you know, I almost want to kind of turn you around 90 degrees so you're looking at each other. I mean, just keep glancing across at each other as we talk about this. But in the church, we don't all have the same function. There's different functions and diverse types of people. It says in verse 14, the body is not made up of one part but many. Later on it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? No, they don't. We're different. And in the church we need different types of people, don't we? Yeah, we need talkers and we need listeners. Yeah, we need thinkers and we need doers. We need artists and we need scientists. We need extroverts and we need introverts. We need different backgrounds of people in church. We need different ages. We need young people. We need older people. We need different classes of people. We need different nationalities of people, different cultures, people of different status. Why? Because that says to the world as much as anything, we're one because, not because of our similarity, but because Jesus has brought us together. But we need all these sorts of different people. So if you think, oh, I don't belong here because I'm a bit of an introvert, or oh, I can't belong here because I'm an artist, or whatever. No, that's not true. You belong. The church should be diverse in its function. In different giftings within the church, you need people who are teachers, people who are prophetic, people who work miracles, people who are practical. Whatever it is, you need musicians, you need not musicians. You know what I mean? And we mustn't see some people as better than each other. It's easy to think, oh, I'm very practical, but they're really spiritual, so they must be more important. No, we need each other. We really need each other. And it finishes that passage by saying, eagerly desire the greater gifts. We're to desire different gifts. So the first thing is, we're diverse. The second thing, here we go. The body might be described as the main or central part. Yeah? The body of an aircraft. Yeah? Is the main, the central part. But if you just think that that's the only bit of the aircraft that's necessary, then you're forgetting about the tail, which keeps it pointing in the directions, the wings that give it lift, and the engines that give it thrust and move it forwards. I studied aeronautical engineering at university, so I know that an aeroplane needs wings, engine, tail, and a body. But a body is the main and central part. Now, if we think of the church like that, we get it wrong, thinking that some central part of the church is the church and the other bits aren't, then we get it wrong. No, the church is all the people, not just a few keenies, not just the leaders. So this church, what's the church going to do about, I don't know what it might be, what's the church going to do about the passion play or whatever? You know, you might ask questions like that. What's the church going to do about our teas and coffees on a Sunday morning? You might be thinking, actually, no, the church is Stuart and Sarah. Or the church is Stuart and Sarah, Dave and Brenda, Gordon and Catherine. You might think, no, the church, what's the church going to do about it, is the main, you know, maybe the leaders or whatever. And there's a story, oh, I can't remember, one of these big American pastor types might have been, oh, I can't remember, anyway, but it wasn't, but somebody else, Bob, famous Bob. A guy came to him and said, you know, I was so upset, this homeless guy came to my house, and the church weren't doing anything to help him, so I had to give him a meal. And the next day, I had to give him a meal again and give him a room for the night. And how are the church going to help him? And this leader says, well, it sounds like the church did help him. Because the church is not just the organization, it's not just the leaders, it's not just the keenies. It's all of us. All together. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You know, the extremities of the body are very important, aren't they? Things like your fingers are really, really important. If you lost them, you'd be struggling, wouldn't you? And your toes, if you lost your big toe, you'd struggle to balance. You know, the extremities are very, very important parts of the body. Who's seen the Addams Family? Yeah, have you seen, there's the hand, isn't there? Is that called Thing? Yeah, just this hand that wanders around the house, runs around and does things. I often think that church can sometimes be like that. You know, a bunch of random body parts. Could you imagine if there was just a hand running down the main street of Bryn Mawr or walking across Asda car park, suddenly this foot, disconnected from anything else, came walking across Asda car park. It'd just be a bit weird. It'd be horrific, wouldn't it? And actually, it would be horrific if as a church, we forgot the importance of the extremities and behaved like that, like totally disconnected things. That's not what we're called to be. We're called to be connected as a family, as a body. So, church is about diversity. Church is about unity. Ephesians 3 verse 10. His intent, Jesus' intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. The manifold, that's many things coming into one. That's many colors all together. That's the wisdom of God all together, joined together and held together. That is the diversity of the gospel. You know, the world says, I'm different, so I don't belong. Yeah, have you noticed how the world says that? You know, I'm going to find my belonging by finding other people who are different from me, and then I'm going to hang out with the other different people who are actually like me. And, you know, where I grew up in Nottingham, in my school, you had a few people who were, goths, that's it. A few people who were goths, who were kind of non-conforming people, wore dark and stuff like that. You went into Nottingham on a Saturday, and what had you got outside the market square there? You'd got like 150 goths who just came to hang out. It's like they were wearing the goth uniform. It's like my non-conformism actually makes me conform to something different. But the world says, if I'm different, I don't belong. But the Bible says, I'm different, so I have a unique role to play in the breadth of his family where Jesus makes me one, and I can be myself as God intended me to be. I don't have to be identical to Stuart or to Sarah or to anybody else. I can be me as God created me, and I add a little bit of extra color to the rich tapestry of who the church is. It's nice to hang around with people who are like us. We feel comfortable. But God has more for us to enjoy the multicolored wonder of being his body. So church has got diversity and unity. Let's have another thing. What else does body mean? An object of sexual desire. On a Sunday, really? What do I mean? You might hear people say, oh, he was just after her body. That's all he wanted. He was just after her body. You might think this is a bit weird in the middle of a sermon. But let's think. It's wrong. It would be wrong for a guy to pursue a girl just for what he could get out of her. And the same is true of church. It would be wrong for us as Christians to pursue church just for what we can get out of church. Oh, I like going there because I get prayed for. Or I like going there because they're kind to me and I get a nice cup of tea. Or, you know what I mean? It would be wrong to just pursue church for what we can get out of it. You see, people will start coming to church for many reasons, and many of those would be a sense of need, and that's okay. But what happens as we grow as part of the body is we find our place and what we contribute, and we receive and contribute, like my finger receives and contributes as part of the body. It gets a blood flow that keeps it going, but it's also good for like pointing and clicking on mouses and stuff like mice, whatever, a mouse. So we can come for all sorts of different reasons, but actually we belong to be dependent on each other in a place of respect and concern. It's we belong in church because it's our home, it's our identity, and also church is our eternal destiny. And we read there about certain parts that need special honor and stuff like that. You know, there's dignity, there's respect. We're not in this for what we can get out of it. We respect each other and honor each other. So let me ask you the question. Are you just dating the church for what you can get out of the church? Josh Harris wrote a book about this. I think it's called Are You Just Dating the Church? And one guy who reviewed it said this about the book. Sadly, many Christians have allowed a consumer mindset to shape their opinions of the church. Instead of asking what they can give or how they can serve, too many churchgoers are only interested in what they can get. In light of this frightening trend, Josh Harris passionately and effectively calls his readers to understand the church's fundamental importance. As part of God's perfect plan for his people, the church deserves far more than a half-hearted commitment or apathetic neglect it so often receives. In fact, as Harris astutely observes, the Christian life can never be lived to its fullest apart from a genuine passion for the church. It's time for believers to take the church seriously. So we're part of the church because we're committed, not because of just what we can get out of it. I'm going to just page on a couple of pages. So the main or central part. Okay, next bit. We're involved together. And the next one, a characteristic. If you've got, if you're a lady and you've got long hair, you want the shampoo that's going to give your hair plenty of body, don't you? Yeah, that's what you have, plenty of body to your hair. Or if you like drinking wine, you want a wine that's full-bodied, don't you? It's a characteristic of something. That's what the word body means like that. Now, body is not just a characteristic of the church. Actually, the church is purposeful. It's the body of Christ. Think about it. When Jesus walked for 33 years on this earth, what did he do with his body? Well, he used the feet of his body to go different places, didn't he? To go to people's houses, to go to the countryside. He used his legs to walk and his feet to go places. And what did he do with his hands? You know, he reached out and touched people who were sick. He offered care and love. his body was the thing that he used for his ministry. And if we are the body now, he is not bodily present on the earth at the moment. He's seated with the Father in heavenly places. He's poured out his Spirit. And we are now the body. So we are the bit of Jesus that goes to the places where Jesus would have gone, that reaches out and touches those that Jesus would have touched. To be his body is not just, oh, we are his body together, how lovely. No, we actually go the places and do the things that he did and modeled with his body. We do that as his body. We are purposeful. And we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do that. And we use the gifts that God's given us in ourselves as well. Let's rattle through another one. What else is a body? The Atlantic Ocean is a large body of water. I was found guilty because there was a huge body of evidence against me. A body can mean a sort of random collection of stuff that happens to be in one place. Do you ever feel like that? As church, well, we're just a random collection of people who happen to be in the same place. We've kind of poured into the same place and we happen to be together. No. We're not random. We are organized by the Holy Spirit. You're not here by chance. God's not like, oh, really? Oh, Mary's here. I wasn't expecting Mary this morning. You know, God's not surprised. We're not random. You know, he knows what's going on. He's given different people gifts and arranged us together and organized us by the Holy Spirit. It talks about the role of the Holy Spirit. And God has placed in the church all these different giftings and abilities. And each of you are here, not because you've happened to roll in, but God has brought you into his body for a purpose. We aren't random. We're here with purpose. Okay, I've got two more. Can you handle two more? The next one's a good one, by the way. The next one is the right one. Let's bring that one up, David. Okay, next one. The body. Oh, go back to one. The body. The entire physical structure, including bones, flesh, and organs as a person. That is what a body is. It's got bones to give it shape. It's got muscles to move it. It's got organs to organize, function. That's the word. That is what we are. Right. I need your help now. Can you help me? Are you willing to do this? I need a chair. And what I want you to do, can we all stand? And I wonder, can we just move the chairs out to the sides? And you are all going to help. If you don't all help, This is going to fail. Right, if anybody needs to remain sat on a chair, then come down here and we'll organise things around you. Does anybody need to be sat on a chair? Okay. So, you are the body of Christ. Now, I need five people. I'm going to be the head, just because then I can direct us a bit, all right? So I need five people. So let me count off five people. First five people. David, you come here. You girls come. Let's have three. Two more. Okay, I want you in a row. Face me, but in a row down here. A straight line facing me, straight down there. Come closer. That's good. Nathan, in line. Great. Right. There we go. That's the torso. I need a leg next. Let me have five people to be a leg. Come on, five of you. Let's have one here. Come on, Reuben, stand here. Okay, and let's have a leg. One, two, three, four, five. Stick man. There we go. Let's have another leg. So five people down here. Somebody stand right in front of me here. That's it. Stand next to Reuben. He's all right. He's had a shower this morning. Let's have five. One, two, three. Mary and Dave, come on. There we go. What have we got left? We need an arm. Gentlemen, come here. Let's join you on to a shoulder. You all right? Do you want to be an arm? Let's have a couple more people, please. I need a couple more people to be an arm. That's it. Let's join you on to... You can be the shoulder today, so join on to the shoulder. And you guys, come over here then and be another arm down here. Right, so... Never miss an opportunity for a photo. Right, can we do selfie then? All smile. Everyone. There we go. That's good. So, you are the body of Christ, all right? So, every one of you is part of the body. You're all joined in. You've all got a place. You've all got a function. Some of you knees today. Some of you elbows. Some of you are in the middle here. You can imagine what you might be. Yes, who's the eyelets of Langerhans? Well, well done. But you are a diverse body. You look at you. You are different from each other. And that's good. You are a unified body. I've put you all together. And Jesus is the head. And he's put you all together. You are the whole body. Every part of you is part of this body. The body is your identity. That's who you now are. You think, what am I this morning? Oh, I'm part of the body. That's who you are. A body that's involved together. I wonder if... can we wave? No. Not with you. Okay, can we just walk forwards, you guys? And back. And forwards. And back. Look, we're kind of waving. Okay, this body has functions. Can we run? No, we won't go there. Okay, the church is Jesus' body. Your role is to be like him and to do what he did, to go where he went and do what he did. That's what the hands are for to do and the feet are there to go. It's a purposeful body, and your purpose is to bring his kingdom in all the earth. You're an organized body. You're in your place, and you are all part of it. You get that? You can remember this bit, aren't you?
Okay, where are we?
Now, just turn around so that you stay in your place, but turn around and have a look. Just because you feel different doesn't mean that you don't belong. Turn in together so you're looking at each other. Sorry, that wasn't clear at all, was it? So you can see each other. You'll see people who are different from you. That doesn't mean that you don't belong, okay? Actually, just because you see people who are different, that doesn't mean that they don't belong. They're still part of this body. In fact, because we're different, it means that you are more needed and more to be depended on and belong even more. So let me ask you, how good are you at helping other people to know how well they belong in the body? How good are you at that? Maybe even today when we have a cup of coffee or whatever afterwards, you can find someone and say to them, I'm so glad you're part of this church because you bring whatever it is that they bring. And I just want to encourage you, get stuck in here. Let's be doing and being church together for the sake of each other, but also for the sake of the lost in Bryn Mawr. Bryn Mawr needs you to be functioning as a good body together because you are the hope of the world. Do you realize that? You are the hope of Bryn Mawr. Now, praise God, there's other brothers and sisters around the place who are part of the body, the wider body. Do you want to grab your chair a minute and just wherever it landed and we'll... But let's just... Let me just ask this question. What is your part in this body? So you're all made up that lovely body there, but what is your part? This This body needs preachers, it needs leaders, it needs pastoral carers, it needs children's workers, youth workers, set up people, people to do the teas and coffees. But also, it needs encouragers, it needs prayers, it needs sitting next to new peoplers. If you've been here for donkey's years, if you're here for the first time or whatever, you can find your place and be part of building the relationships in this church. You can be Valley's church ambassador to your street, to your workplace, to your family, to your friends. Nobody else has the same network of friends and connections that you have. And you can play your part in the body by being Valley's church Jesus ambassador to those connections that you have. There's many different ways that you can muck in and serve and function as part of the body. And you know what? I've noticed that people who aren't functioning as part of the body are often those who don't feel part of it. So that tells me if you don't feel part of the body very much, find yourself something to do. You know, set some chairs out. Help with the tea and coffee. Be the one who speaks to the people that you don't know. We can all do that. It's great to see, is it Nara joining in and singing this morning? That's wonderful. I don't make her embarrass you or anything, but I think, you know, sometimes age, whether we're a bit younger or a bit older, can make us feel that we're maybe not so much part of it. But it's great to see, you know, you, Nara, and others getting involved and so on. But let me just warn you with one thing. One final thing that a body can be, that a body can mean, is a corpse. A dead body. His body was found washed up on the beach. That is certainly something that the church body is not meant to be, is a dead body. Some churches may seem dead, but this church doesn't. I think the two places you notice when a church is dead are in worship and in mission. I think those are the two kind of key indicators. They're like the pulse and the breathing of a body. And I think it's just wonderful as you're worshiping here together. Every time I've ever come here and you've worshiped, I've always felt the sense of God's Holy Spirit here amongst you. And it's the Spirit that makes you alive. And if you're ever thinking, are we still alive? Then just wait on God. And I'll tell you, even if you're not feeling it, God's Spirit is here amongst you as you worship. And the other place is mission. And I know you guys are keen with this building to get stuck in and it not just be something that serves you as a church, but something that serves the town. I heard a wise guy say, let's not try and be the best church in our town. Let's try and be the best church for our town. And that's what mission's all about. And you take the gospel of Jesus Christ in words, you carry that with you as you take the gospel of Jesus Christ in deeds and actions, you take them together. Don't be a corpse, be a living body. And what is it that gives this body life? Verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. It's the Spirit. We were all given one Spirit to drink. And it's the Spirit that gives us life. You know when Adam was made, what did it say God did? What did God do to Adam to bring him to life? He put his breath in him. And that word breath is the same word that was in Genesis 1 and verse 2 where it says, and the Spirit of God was over the waters. That word spirit and breath are one and the same word. It's the word ruach in Hebrew. And it's the Spirit that puts the breath and the life into this body that is the church. And so we come in to the body by the Spirit and he brings us to life by his Spirit. So let's stand, let's pray. And you are a body, that's true. Yeah? That's just true. That is just what you are. So most of what I've been saying this morning is, this is already true. Just understand it. But then this final bit is about what gives life to the body. It's the Spirit that gives life to the body. So let's take a moment. Let's receive from him. Let's be asking God. We can all pray. Let's all pray. God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, that we together might be full of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as your body, come and breathe afresh into us. Where we may be tired or weary or have lost sight of that, whether we've, Lord, forgive us if we've disregarded this truth and become a disconnected thing. Build us back into your body. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour out on us. Let's just wait on him a moment. Let's wait on him, breather of life. I think some of you just need to ask God, God, what is my place? And God's going to speak to you. Just say, God, what is my place in this body? God's going to speak to you. Keep our eyes on God. I just feel God saying, you know, in that scripture, one of the phrases is, some are helpers. That's wonderful. There's some of you here that are helpers. Helpers of each other. Helpers of the church. Some of you maybe are asking, I don't think I've got anything to do here. No, you're a helper. Just feel, David, God would say to you, you're a helper. You're doing it. You know, it's not seek something new. It's enjoy what you are. You're a helper, and you are a massive helper. Father, I just pray for David that you pour your Spirit on him, and as he helps in many ways, that you just multiply that. You multiply the effect of that helping. I think there's some of you here who feel, well, I'm having a go, but I'm not actually very good. You're having a go at whatever it might be. I'm having a go, but really, me? I'm not very good at that. Just, if that's you, we're focusing on God, just raise your hand. If you think, yeah, I'm having a go, but actually I'm not very good at what I'm doing. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, we know that you love obedience and willingness. And so I pray where people are stepping out and giving it a go, that you would multiply what they do. It doesn't have to look like how someone else would do it. But God, I pray that you would multiply and you would add a spiritual dimension by your Holy Spirit to whatever service is being given. That you make it effective in your kingdom purposes. Holy Spirit. And where anyone is feeling or acting like a disjointed part of the body, Lord, I pray that there be a welcome right now of your Holy Spirit, a warmth. Come in. Come on in. Get connected. Allow the blood to pump through you. Get connected back to the nervous system, that you're in that communication, in that relationship. Come on, there's a warmth to this body. It's not a cold corpse. Come on and get connected. And Lord, I just want to pray for anyone who's new or you feel new. You can qualify that with a length of time. It might be years, it might be weeks. But if you're new, I just want to pray for you. Father, those who are new here, would you build them in quickly? Would you help them to find the love that this church has to offer in relationship? Help them to find purpose and reason and areas to serve, Lord. And I pray for growth of this body. Lord, I thank you that in your kingdom, healthy things grow. And Father, would you cause this church to grow? I pray that the new building would be a real wonderful home that this church can come together in and go out from. So Lord, I pray, come Holy Spirit and fill us, commission. I just want to commission you afresh this morning by God's Holy Spirit to be the feet of Jesus and the hands of Jesus, going where he would go, doing what he would do. Full of his Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray there'd be great blessing and fruitfulness on this church. They'd never be a corpse, but they would always be full of your Spirit and full of life, we pray. Amen.
Bless you, Martin. Let's just link hands, can we? Let's just form a circle of some discussion.